الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program or this Islamic studies class is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you or any kind of paper, pencil, that or recording device so that you'll be able to take notes because you are in class and you are my students. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are our new listeners or new students to the class, welcome to the Islamic studies class or our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic is going to be a little bit different, which is going to be on the topic of Sharia. That's S-H-A-R-I-A-H. Sometimes it's spelled without the H on the end, but it's Sharia. And so many people sometimes think negatively when they hear the word Sharia. And really, Sharia is all about looking after the maslaha or the interests and the benefits of the people. Allah knows his people. He created the people. And so he knows what their needs are. And so the Sharia, one of the basic or two of the basic places where we get our laws from, or the Sharia from, is from the Quran, which I talked to you all about, and from Prophet Muhammad, and peace and blessing be upon him. Those are our essential sources of Sharia, of the rules and regulations and the laws of Islam. This topic is very, very wide topic. Matter of fact, some of the categories have categories and they have categories. And so I'm not going that deep into this particular subject. This subject is an advanced subject, and sometimes study under the bachelor's degree or master's degree or doctorate degree level of Islamic studies. But I'm just going to give you some very basic information about the Sharia. And sometimes it is called the Maqasid al-Sharia, which is, Maqasid is more like, you would call it more like the objectives. And then the Sharia itself are basic Islamic law. And so so altogether, Maqasid al-Sharia is the objectives of the Sharia, the purpose of the Sharia. And so I just want to talk about one aspect of it. Like I said, it have many categories. And so what I want to look at is what is called a duriyat. That's D-H-U-R-O-O-R-I-Y-A-A-T. Duriyat. Which means, and sometimes it's spelled different ways, which basically means the necessities or essentials of life. We have some things that are luxuries of life, some things that are the tasiyat, and then you have some things that are what you call the things that we need, and those are the hajirat, and then you have the things that are the duriyat, which are the things that are essential to the life of people and the survival of people. One scholar said regarding this particular subject, of necessities or essentials of life, he said that the benefits we need are urgent, without which life cannot be sustained in this world and we will have no salvation in the hereafter. And so that's what one of the scholars say regarding this particular topic of the duriyat, which are the essentials of human life. And it also says under Duryat, which are the necessities or the essentials. I'll be using those two words. Sometimes I say necessity. Sometimes I say essentials. And pretty much they mean the same, and they link back to Duryat. It means the essential to life that the Sharia preserves and protect from harm. Five essentials. In other words, this Duryat, the Sharia itself, it protects and preserves five areas. And the five areas that I'm going to discuss today, their faith of a person, the life of a person, the intellect of a person, and number four, with the wealth of a person, and number five, the offsprings. Those are some of the basic five things that the Sharia preserves and protects. And the Quran talks about this. Okay, time to open up your Quran. And the Quran talks about this in several different places. And one such place is chapter 60, verse 12. Again, chapter 60, verse number 12. And it says in this particular verse, and I hope you all are ready. And it basically has in it some of the five things that I mentioned earlier that we're going to be focusing on. And it says, O Muhammad, when the believing women come to you, pleading to you that they will not associate anything with Allah, nor will they steal, nor will they commit unlawful sexual intercourse, nor will they kill their children, nor will they bring forth a slander they have invented between their arms and legs, nor will they disobey you and what is right, then accept their plea, or their pledge, I'm sorry, their pledge, ask forgiveness for them of Allah, and indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. And I meant to mention earlier about what it says, O Prophet, when the believing women come to you pleading. I didn't mean to say pledge, okay? And so we have here that these five different things underneath this particular verse. But I want to read another verse that also captures the five things that I mentioned earlier. And it's a little bit longer, and it's going to be in chapter 6, verses 105 to 151, I'm sorry, to 153. Again, that's chapter 6. I'm sorry, if I said 5, I not mean 5. Chapter 6, verse 151 to 153. Again, chapter 6, verses 151 to 153. And it's a little bit long, so hang in there with me. Hopefully you'll find that particular page, a particular chapter and verse. Again, that's chapter 6, verse 151 to 153. And it says, say, come, I will recite what your Lord has prohibited to you. He commands that you not associate anything with him, and to your parents good treatment, and do not kill your children out of poverty. We will provide for you and them, and do not approach immoralities. What is apparent of them and what is concealed, and do not kill the soul which Allah has forbidden to kill except by legal right. This has he instructed you that you may use reason, and do not approach the orphan's property except in a way that is best until he reaches maturity, and give full measure and weight in justice, and do not charge any soul except with that within its capacity. And when you testify, be just, even if it concerns a near relative, and the covenant of Allah fulfilled. This has he instructed you that you may remember. And moreover, this is the path which is straight. So follow it, and do not follow other ways, for you will be separated from his way. This has he instructed you that you may become righteous. It's a long paragraph, a long verses, but they have so much meaning and going to capture what we're talking about today. And that I just read it from chapter 6, verses 151 to 153. And so in this one verse, or in these couple of verses, it covers many different essential benefits. And so we see here what are the duties, and in this particular verses, or these two verses, is that it's protection of wealth. It said not steal, protection of offspring. It said nor kill your children. Protection of faith. Do not associate anything with Allah, etc. So we saw all these things just in these few verses was captured. These things, these basic essential of life that we're talking about right now, that the Sharia covers, and that's under, of course, the Quran. Now, coming from the Sunnah, or the saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, but I'm talking about the same subjects of preserving and protecting the five areas that we're going to talk about today. Now, do you all remember the five areas we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about, of course, we're going to talk about what? Number one, we're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about life. We're going to talk about the intellect. We're going to talk about wealth. And we're also going to talk about offspring. How the Sharia protects those things and preserve those things, those basic essentials of human life. It's not about Sharia out to destroy human life and to harm the people. It's quite the opposite. It's to protect the people and protect the interests of the people and to benefit the people. That's what the Sharia is all about. Allah is not here to harm us. He here to help us and to guide us and to get us on Sirat al-Mustaqim, to get us on the straight path. That's what this Islam is all about, and that's what the Sharia is all about, and nothing more than that, to preserve those areas that I mentioned and to protect those areas that I mentioned. Now, the Sunnah of the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, or one of the sayings of the Prophet, Ibn Mas'ud, he narrated that he asked the Messenger of Allah, he said, what is the greatest sins? The Prophet replied, for you to associate partners with Allah, although he created you. He asked, then what? To kill your children because you fear he will, or you kill your child because you fear that he will eat with you. And I asked him, then what? He replied, to commit adultery with the wife of your neighbor. So these are some of the things from the five things I mentioned earlier. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he told the man asked about the greatest sins, and he told him these are the greatest sins. Does it not mean that they're the only sins, but he asked about the greater sins, and the greater sins was to associate partners with Allah, and to kill your children because you think your children are going to take from your food or eat from your food, and also not to commit adultery. Now let us take a look at how the Sharia protects and preserves the five essential duriyat that I mentioned earlier. Let's go with number one. Number one, how does the Sharia protect faith? Now, committing shirk, associating partners with Allah, is prohibited in Islam, which is considered what you call Akbar Kabir. And to protect Islam, which is based on Tawheed is just the oneness of Allah and the protection of religion. And so let's look at the faith part first. And it says, again, let's go back to what the chapter we just read, which is chapter 6, verse 151. And it said what in it? Say, come, I will recite what your Lord has prohibited you. He commands that you not associate anything with him. This is a what? This is a protection of one's faith. And that is not associating partners with Allah. Allah sits alone on a throne or above the throne of authority. He created all that we see and all that we don't see. He was here before us. He's here with us now, and after we're gone, he will still exist, but we will not. Also, in that same chapter, we're talking about chapter 6, verses 151, chapter 6, verses 151, and it says, "And moreover, this is the path which is straight, so follow it, and do not follow other ways, for you will be separated from his way. This has he instructed you, that you may become righteous." And we read that earlier. This is keeping people on what we call Sirat al-Mustaqim, on a straight path. And so this is a way to protect the religion, or protect someone's faith, is that they stay on a straight path. They do not veer off that straight path, because if they do veer off the straight path, they no longer, of course, logically will not be on the straight path. And you want righteousness, that's to stay on that straight path towards Allah. Now, let's go to number 2. It protects life. And it says, "Do not kill your children or your child out of poverty." And they mentioned earlier about not killing your child out of poverty, as the prophet mentioned, and because you fear your child going to eat from what you eat, and Allah will provide for you. He'll provide for you and for your child, so you don't worry about that. So it protects life. It says, "Do not kill," in that verse, the verse that we read earlier, "Do not kill your children out of poverty." Now, how does it cover and protect the intellect? That was one of the 5 that I mentioned earlier. Islam forbids the drinking of alcohol. It oftentimes causes people to not think correctly and act in an unreasonable manner, as if they have no intellect. Because you all know, and it's no surprise at all, you all know what I'm talking about, that when a person drinks, sometimes they lose their senses. They say things that they normally would not say. They do things that they normally would not do, but it's because of the alcohol. And not just the alcohol, it could be drugs or something like that too, that makes them change. It alters their behavior and alters their mind. And so Islam forbids the drinking of alcohol beverage or any kind of khamr, any kind of intoxicant, because it altered the mind, and a person cannot think straight and think appropriately and act appropriately. And so it protects the intellect by telling the people that you cannot drink, you're not allowed to drink, it's forbidden for you to drink the alcoholic beverage or anything that's going to cause or alter your thinking, your mind. And so we had to stay away from this sort of thing. And so that's how the Sharia protects the person's intellect, is that it encourages, and of course it forbids people from drinking any kind of alcohol or taking any kind of mind-altering drugs. Now, how does Islam, Sharia, protect wealth? And it says, in the verses that we read earlier, "And do not approach the orphan's property." And let me explain what orphans are in terms of Islam. Orphans are children whose father passed away. They are under no care, and Allah prohibit that any wealth be taken from theirs to protect them. Allah prohibits stealing, hijacking, taking unjustly any property, taking wealth of the orphans. So the orphans, they can't defend for themselves, they can't take care of themselves, and so some guardian, someone looks after them, take care of them, and defends them. But the individual, the adult that's supposed to take care of them and defend them, they can't abuse their money. I can't mix my orphan's money with my money, or just spend their money up and then later on spend my money up. And I'm not spending their money up on them, I'm spending it on myself. That is forbidden in Islam to do. And this is something that we're supposed to protect the widows and the orphans. This is a great deed for us to do so. Matter of fact, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said that basically on the day of judgment, the orphans would be like close to him, like two fingers. If you put two fingers together on your hand right now, they're gonna be that close, like no air between those two fingers. And so that's how important it is. And so we have to take care of these people that don't, these children that do not have a father, a no one to look after them. Because once the father dies, then the child become an orphan. It's not orphans like most people think orphans to be. They don't have a father and a mother. Under Islam, if the person or the child does not have a father, then he or she becomes an orphan. And then anyone that takes care of that orphan, they have to do it in a just manner and to get many blessings from that. I think that I read a hadith one time saying that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, and he mentioned something about that, like, say for example, if a person runs their finger through an orphan's hair, it's like every strand of hair that touches the person sort of gets a blessing for that. And a lot of those blessings is hadith, or they're saying that the Prophet is weak, daif, or is his kawi, or if it's strong. And Allah knows best. But there's so many hadith, so many sayings from the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, about caring for the orphans, and so many ayahs in the Quran talking about caring for the widows and caring for the orphans. Also, it mentioned, but for protecting wealth, it also mentions about, and give full measure and weight in justice. And so, meaning here is that this verse mentions one to complete, of get one's complete measure in giving. And also not cheating people. And like sometimes someone may put something, put some food or something on a scale, and then a person who is selling, then he or she may put their finger on the scale to make it look heavier, and then charge you for the product, but they didn't give you all the product. For example, if they just normally didn't put their finger on it, only weighed 4 pounds, but then they put their finger on it, and it becomes a 6 or 7 pounds. And then they put in the bag the 4 pounds, but they're going to charge you for 6 or 7 pounds, which is unfair. Or they put inside a bag, one bag, they put your bag of oranges, whatever, that weight that you actually pay for, but then they have another bag of oranges hidden behind them, and that's the bag which has less inside of it, and that's the bag that they give to you. And so this is not giving just measure. And they think they're getting away with it now. They are not getting, they may get away with it now unless you catch them. But they can't get away from it regarding Allah, because Allah sees what they're doing. And on Yawm al-Din, on the Day of Judgment, they're going to have to pay that back unless they take care of it now. And so they're getting away with it now, or they may get away with it now, but they have an angel on their right side, right shoulder, and an angel on their left shoulder, the angel on the right shoulder writing down their good deeds, angel on the left shoulder writing down their bad deeds. And so surely any person that is cheating other people is going to be written down for that individual as being a bad deed. And then on the Day of Judgment, the person will get back, will get their deed, will get that taken care of in terms of whatever is owed to them. They will get that back on the day of Judgment. Now let's get to the last one, number 5, which is protection of offspring. Again, going back to chapter number 6, verse 151. Again, chapter number 6, verse 151. And it says, and do not approach immoralities, what is apparent of them and what is concealed. And I want to look at something that's called fahisha. And fahisha is prohibited in all forms. One should not even go close to it. Fahisha refers to indecent acts or speech. No doubt that the biggest fahisha is adultery. For this reason, Allah, He mentions in another surah, or another surah in Quran, another chapter in Quran, which is chapter 17, verse 32, and it says, do not approach zina, for it is a fahisha. Fahisha is spelled F-A-H-I-S-H-A, fahisha. And if it's a very bad thing, a very bad doing, when a person do a fahisha. We do not allow, we are not allowed to do anything that brings us close to it, not to even get close to it to protect lineage, to protect our family from it, but or anything like that, or commit adultery, anything like that. We're just supposed to be honest people and not come any place near zina, adultery, meaning having sex out, you're married to someone, but you have sex with someone that either you're married to or not married to. You have sex with someone that you're not married to, and this is the, but you're married, and this is zina, and so you had to stay away from it, or fornication. You're not married, and then you have sex with someone that you're not married to, and so you're fornicating, and so we're supposed to stay away from this this particular bad act, and this is something that Muslims are not allowed to do, and really no one's allowed to do this kind of thing, because it will go down on our scale or inside of our book and place on our scale. Now I would like to add something. There's another scholar, he add a number 6 to the 5. We mentioned the 5 that you all know what they, you know what they are now. And if we were in a classroom, I would have you tell me what the five are. And so, but right now I can't, because you can't tell me back what the five are. And of course, the 5 we're talking about faith, we're talking about life, we're talking about the intellect, and we're talking about wealth and offspring. Those are the 5 essentials that we're talking about, some of the basic 5 that the Sharia protects. Then I want to add number 6, Imam Ghazali. He's one of a famous scholar. He added a number 6, and he added on honor. And so let me look at some hadith that talks about honor. And so you have one hadith where it says, a saying of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, whoever protects his brother's honor, Allah protects his faith, his face from the fire on the day of resurrection. Again, it says, whoever protects his brother's honor, Allah protects his face from the fire on the day of resurrection. And I would assume, of course, that when it says brother, brother means all gender, also means female, not just a brother. And I want to mention also that Allah said that is mentioned that in terms of honor, the whole of the Muslims, it's also a saying by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, the whole of the Muslim is sacred to his fellow Muslim, his blood, his wealth, and his honor. And so we see from this is that it mentions again honor. What is sacred amongst the Muslim is the person's blood, the person's wealth, and the person's honor. And so when people go around saying that Muslims are killing other Muslims, that kind of thing, they're wrong. They're wrong in terms of if a Muslim is killing a Muslim, it's a Muslim killing anyone. And not doing it because the person is attacking them. They just going around killing people. This is not from Islam. Because Islam says, the Quran says, and when you save a life, one life, you save all of humanity. And if you take a life, it's like you kill all of humanity. And also in terms of honor, it says, he is not one of us who does not have mercy upon our young, nor honor our elders. And so again, he is not one of us who does not have mercy upon our young, nor knows the honor or shows the honor to the elderly people. And so this again mentioning honor is that showing the mercy to the young people and honoring our elderly people. So as you can see, that the maqasid al-sharia, meaning the objectives of the sharia, the Islamic law, is to protect and preserve humankind. And that is a great benefit, a great benefit or interest to protect humankind. and to preserve humankind. That's what the Sharia is all about. Not how, what people are presenting the Sharia to be a negative thing, or you want to bring the Sharia into the community, into our lives and that kind of thing. No, we do want to bring it. And the Sharia is a good thing to bring into life and bring into the lives of the people, that it protects the faith of the people, the wealth of the people, the intellect of the people, the offsprings of the people, the life of the people. And so what's wrong with that? That's what it does. It's not to do anything else but to protect and to benefit the people and not to harm the people and protect the people from harm. If you want to learn more about this particular subject, other subjects, of course, continue to attend my class, or you can also go to the IslamicOnlineUniversity.com, or it's also called the InternationalOnlineUniversity.com, or you can go to AmericanOpenUniversity.edu, and you go to AmericanOpenUniversity.edu, and you'll get more information and even enroll in classes to find out, to learn more about Islam. You can attend my class or our class that we do weekly, and also go to these great universities in order to get a degree or certificate from the university about Islam and expand your knowledge about Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.